Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. There it is, temptations. Right there. Pretty sure we've probably all felt that way at some point in our lives. Tempted by something. It's been a very tempted-filled week for me. Like, I just wanted to stand here and say nothing. That was my first temptation, because I got nothing to say. Then my real temptation is just to quote everyone else, which is probably what I'm going to do. But temptations, I would imagine, are all around us. We can probably come up with our own list of cupcakes or whatever we might be tempted by, whether that's food or some situation, or for me, procrastination, whatever it might be. We are constantly tempted and tested in life. And yet this text on temptations of Jesus seems to be so weird and so far removed from our own temptations. For Jesus, this testing by the devil, I think, goes just a bit deeper than a cupcake. The devil attempts to sow mistrust, as seen in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Here, Jesus says, it's said to Jesus, "You may go hungry. You do not have enough. How do you know that God is trustworthy?" Our first temptation for Jesus is to, I'm sorry, the choir, you can see, can't you? We have the peanut gallery up there with a donkey on his head. So the temptation will be for me to be very unfocused. Thank you. Connor Roberts. Thank you, Connor Roberts. Appreciate that. He told me last night something was coming, and there it was. So for Jesus, temptation number one is to turn these stones into bread, to test that self-indulgence, to serving oneself. Jesus can use his authority as the Son of God to meet his own personal needs. But Jesus' ministry is always focused on others and never on himself. One does not live by bread alone. That second test is a test of ruling the kingdoms of this world, this test of self-aggrandizement. I had to look that word up. Power. Jesus is tempted to embrace what many in the world have expected him to do as Messiah, to have this political and military might and rule. But we know that Jesus comes as a different Messiah and says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." That third temptation, that third test, is another form of power, self-serving religious identity, taking care of yourself only, that leads to fame and riches rather than service and the cross. But Jesus says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." So over and over again in Jesus' work and life, We see this absolute truth and obedience to God, to know whose he is and where he has come from. His identity and his future is beyond any testing or temptation. But what we see from the devil is that the devil leads to mistrust. And then God gives every opportunity to practice trust, including for us. We trust God for our daily needs, for our sense of purpose, for our identity as a child of God. But the temptations of the world have appeal. To that degree, we allow our natural insecurity to lead us to mistrust God. We want to take matters into our own hands and control the situation. But ultimately, a temptation is not a temptation towards something, but rather it's usually a temptation away from something, namely our relationship with God and the identity that we receive in and through that relationship. Now, obviously, Jesus took the route of trust, but, you know, I'm not Jesus. And I would imagine you aren't either. So it's very hard for us to withstand the temptation, it seems. So I wonder if there's something more in this story. If you look at the story in Scripture, it is bracketed by something. Jesus started out filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we heard these temptations, and then the devil leaves for an opportune time, and then in verse 14, again, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus goes throughout the community and synagogues to proclaim the good news. And that good news was the message of Isaiah, released to the captives. The oppressed go free, the blind will see. Filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a detail unique to Luke's gospel. It's very important for all of Luke's gospel. Anytime you see Jesus or hear Jesus doing ministry, he's always in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So there must be something going on there. Because that's a promise to the people of God since the very beginning. And it will always be the promise. Which means with that Holy Spirit, we have the means to give witness to God's truth and God's love. And the truth is, you are enough. You and I are enough. In each temptation, the devil seeks to undermine Jesus' confidence in both God and himself. And yet, rooted in Scripture, Jesus is reminded not only that he has enough, but that he is enough. That God's love will keep loving us no matter what. And for this reason, you and I are enough. This is the baptismal message. This is being a beloved child of God. This is grace. Last night, someone sent me some information from Anne Lamont that she had posted on Facebook. She's a great theologian and author in our time. And she says, we can't fix ourselves. We aren't supposed to. She quotes Eugene O'Neill, who says, we are born broken, and that the grace of God is the glue. That glue stick of grace is everywhere. Anne goes on to talk about that the world is like the kitchen drawer that we all have in our house that is full of junk that we have been trying to clean out for 3 years. Four, in my case. And it's mostly full of junk that we don't need, but I just can't throw out. Like, it's got those five old glue sticks or those seven crumpled up containers of super glue, two of which are still usable. And she says that is the great miracle. This is the grace of God, the glue, the spiritual WD-40, she calls it, of fresh air and freedom. That the world will suck us down, But grace and love is bigger than any weird or horrible stuff that the world will fling at us. She says to remember that contrary to all evidence, we are loved, we are chosen, and we are safe. Ash Wednesday reminded us of that, that we come from God and we will return to God. And in the meantime, everything is mixed up and sometimes annoying and usually very messy. But we get to start over and over again. We get to remember our baptism. We get to be reminded that we are enough and that we are beloved children of God.